You're listening to Off the X with your hosts, Forrest Carvajal, Tyler Wells, Matt Covington, and Barrett Moon. Brought to you by Pond Creek Duck Calls. Call with confidence. Otis Arms, built for the outdoors. Hella Dry Gear. Rixie Outdoors. Huntproof, the premier waterfowl mobile app. Pattern Pros, where simplicity meets results. And Wellens Land, Arkansas's leading recreational real estate and development group.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Off the X Podcast. I'm Forrest Carvajal, here with my best good friends and Matt Covington.
There we go. Way to start it off. Welcome back, fellas. I like it.
It's been a while.
That was for all the pictures that he's been sending us of all these turkeys when we were like, dude, we didn't even know you left. Thanks for, you know, letting us know what's going on.
Well, I'll take it.
So we're going to talk turkeys again. That's going to be three episodes in a row, which is like a record, I do believe, for Off the X Podcast.
It's what you're supposed to do in the spring. Talk about turkeys.
I believe you're supposed to catch bass in the spring is what you're supposed to do. But we'll talk turkeys for you turkey hunters. And we do. We had Matt, obviously, has killed a few. I referenced that already.
I have.
But there's also been a secret trip taken by one of the other three of us that nobody knew about except for who went. And we're going to talk about that one, too. Where do y'all want to start? Oh, and we also have a bourbon review, which we haven't done in forever.
Yeah.
And a duck call review. Let's start with the bourbon review. I actually got this from Leah's boss. Him and his wife came over and played a game night or whatever at our house, and they brought over a bottle of bourbon because they knew that I like bourbon. So it is, what is it, Heaven Hill? Mm-hmm. Bottled in bond, 7-year. I really liked it. This is my first time to have it with ice, so, and I haven't tried it with the ice. So what are y'all's thoughts on it? Y'all go ahead. Bourbon boy, Mr. Barrett, how about you go first?
I mean, I like it. It has some spice on the back end. I mean, I should have tried it neat, but over ice. I mean, it's tasty. It's definitely it's a smoother bourbon. You can tell that it's probably one of the Heaven Hill higher ends, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's tasty. It has, like I said, some spice. I didn't taste a whole lot of vanilla. And this is gonna get weird, but it almost has some like paprika taste to it.
Paprika.
Are you familiar with that?
I call it paprika.
I call it paprika.
It's paprika.
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 Wow, you went like, never like totally different accent
you're
there.
You're right. It was a little weird. Yeah.
It is a little weird. But it's got my first taste, I was like, that's interesting. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And it also could have been what I ate for dinner that was still in my mouth type deal.
Did you have some paprika?
No, I didn't have any paprika. It was tacos.
Yeah, I get the vanilla off of it, some tobacco, a little leathery, and I mean you can tell just by drinking it that it's Heaven Hill.
Well, I've never had a Heaven Hill other than this one, so I don't know exactly how to reference Heaven
Hill, it's the mash bill, but it all tastes uniform. It's
okay.
Not like you drink one of them and then drink another one, you're like, I couldn't tell you where that one came from.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, it tastes pretty good. I mean, I'm impressed with it. So,
do y'all want to give it a number? Give it a number.
I don't remember the last time we rated a bourbon.
Well, it's been a while since we've even done a review.
It'd probably fall in the sevens for me, somewhere in the sevens, sixes or sevens.
I was gonna give six.
Yeah.
So when I've had it neat, I've gotten a lot more spice than with the ice.
Yeah.
But
paprika.
Yeah. I don't know what paprika tastes like, so I can't reference that.
Of course, it'd be dangerous if he actually ate food.
Maybe. I'd probably be a lot fatter than I am
right now. Hints of chocolate lasagna.
Speaking of chocolate lasagna, you brought that up.
Man, I got in trouble for saying it had ice cream. Good Lord.
Man, Leah's like, it's basically the same consistency as banana pudding.
Which you wouldn't know.
I will gag on banana pudding.
Yeah, I would.
Chocolate lasagna like it's going out of style.
All of that's true. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to hide from any of that.
Okay. We're going to, one night, we're going to do a live, and you're going to sample banana pudding on the live. I think it'd be
blindfolded.
But you like the banana pudding. What was the
flavor of it? Yeah.
You like the flavor of it.
You just don't like the texture. You love banana pudding.
It's all texture for me. All texture.
What if we made it the same, but we'll just put it in a smoothie?
I'm not doing a smoothie. Oh, I tried a smoothie one time. Leah made these green something smoothies, and I don't know if it's just...
Well, there's your issue.
There's your like green. Issue. Yeah, that's what I was like. It's green, so obviously this is going to taste terrible.
It was in your mind. You already didn't like it before
exactly,
you ever tasted it.
Exactly.
Back to the Heaven Hill. It is a little, I would say, thicker, maybe syrupy. It does have like a film or whatever that I feel like...
Legs. It's got legs.
Yeah, got legs. It's not... It is smooth, but it's a heavier...
A heavier smooth?
Bourbon to me. So I do think that, for me, it's a little bit syrupy, but it's not a bad syrupy. And I don't know the flavors. I can't put words to them like y'all can, but I feel like I do rotate through the flavors as I'm drinking it. It's not like just one big blast of flavor like some are, and then spice. It's not like that. It moves through the flavors really well, I think.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I'd give it 6 or 7.
I'd be in the 7s. I wouldn't give it an 8. It's not something that's blowing my mind, but I would give it a 7.
A really good one that we haven't done yet, I don't think, is that Bingham's Bourbon.
We have not done Bingham's Bourbon.
And
yeah.
We'll have to do that one next. Yeah, yeah. I've got a bunch of them over there that we haven't done yet. So I just keep collecting them. Everybody
maybe one day
quit sampling.
So, all right, let's talk about these turkeys real quick.
Let's get into
Let's go one Matt, one Barrett, one Matt. How about we do that?
Let's do that.
So let's start with your first trip.
Yeah,
where'd you go?
So I ended up going to Alabama. Originally, I had a trip planned to Florida, and some things fell through. We weren't able to make it. And I went into scramble mode because, like, I had in my mind I was going turkey hunting this week. I have to go turkey hunting somewhere. So I called our buddy Tucker Burkhalter down in Alabama, and he invited me down to come turkey hunting. So I called him the day before, and I was like, hey, man, just making sure I have everything packed. Like, are we going to be in a hotel? I have a tent in the truck. Like, what are we expecting? He's like, oh, no, you can come stay down in the hunting shack. No big deal. I'm like, okay, hunting shack. I packed my pillow, my sleeping bag, and everything. Hunting shack, right? I pull up and open the gate, and this is one of the, like, nicest hunting lodges I have ever seen before. Two-story, I don't know how many square feet, giant pond in the back, boats everywhere, shop. And I'm like, okay, we have a different definition of a hunting shack. I'm expecting like a lean-to out in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, I'm expecting to fight rats off of me in the middle of the night.
Matt brought his shiwi. Yeah.
So we pull up to the shack that wasn't a shack at all and walk out to the shop. We're like, all right, which ranger we want to take? Again, just so many things there.
This one has air conditioning, and this one has a radio.
Oh, yeah, this one's electric. This one's quiet, so let's take this one. So we
y'all got the electric one?
Oh, yeah.
The lap of luxury.
You say y'all. They.
Yeah.
I just showed up with the sleeping bag and a shotgun.
Oh, did you ride in the electric one?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Is it quiet, like super?
It was quiet. It was also blowing about 25 miles an hour, so it didn't matter what we were in. You couldn't hear anything. So we went. We tried to roost a bird that night, and couldn't really hear. This is the first time Tucker had been out there this spring, but he historically knew where turkeys roost on his place. So got up the next morning, went out, and stood for probably 20 minutes after sunrise, didn't hear anything. And we were like, okay, here we go. This is turkey hunting in Alabama. He told me it wasn't going to be easy. And
is Alabama a noted good place or bad place for turkeys?
Overall, good. It just depends on where you go. But, I mean, anywhere you go hunt with somebody, they're going to tell you, all right, it's way harder here than what you're used to. So we get out there, and finally a bird gobbles, and he's probably 1,000 yards away. We hear him, and instantly Tucker's like, he's in the Castle Woods. I'm like, sure, whatever the Castle Woods.
Man, well, good Lord, I would expect an actual castle now.
Yeah. Can we hunt the Castle Woods?
Yeah, can we go to the Castle Woods? So we take off, we cut the distance in half, get around this field and into a pine thicket, and crawl down a little bit. This turkey's still gobbling on the roost, and finally we get set up. My voice is going to crack this whole podcast, I guess.
You're just excited.
Yeah, I guess so. we get set up, and his buddy Brandon, I need to back up and talk about Brandon for a second. Shout out to Brandon Clark. I get there the night before, and Tucker introduces me to Brandon. We go out. He's with us to Roost Bird. And we get there, and he's like, hey, man, I heard you just had a kid. Congratulations. I just had a kid, too. I'm like, how old? He's like, 6 days. I'm like, what are you doing
wow.
here?
6 days. Like, literally, just 2 hours ago, we had a kid.
I'm like, what are you doing here? Oh, my mother-in-law's at the house. It's fine. Don't worry about
wow.
it.
Wow.
So he's like, yeah, I'm going with y'all in the morning. I'm like, you're staying the night.
So
with
he's divorced.
I don't know if he's divorced or dead. But anyway, he was there. So back to setting up. Brandon gets on a tree probably 10 yards behind me with Tucker, and he yelps one time, and this turkey cuts him off. And for the next 2 or 3 minutes, this turkey goes from 600 yards to 25 yards in front of us. And all we did was yelp once, and he gobbled his way all the way across the field. There was a little rise that he had to come up over, which is really why he came as close as he did, because he couldn't see. And he stepped up over that. We could hear him spitting and drumming, and finally came out in the open and gave me a shot. And 30 minutes after hunting in Alabama, I was done. So,
man,
it was a fun trip. It was a quick trip. Barrett's shaking his head because he's about to tell us.
Have you our 30 minutes?
I will.
Have you ever killed one in Alabama?
I haven't. That's one of my states that I need to cross off. And people are chasing 49. I'm kind of like slowly approaching, trying to catch up to 49. I did the math. If I go at this rate, by the age of 72, I will have my 49 states crossed up. But I'm slowly getting there.
Hey, just like, keep chipping away.
Tortoise in the hair, man. Yeah. Just slow and steady.
Progress is progress.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
So, yeah, after Tucker telling me how hard Alabama was, the first thing he said was, that's how easy to kill one in Alabama. That's how easy it is to kill one in Alabama. So we laughed, and then we kind of looked around. We're like, all right, now what? Because you can only kill one a day. And Tucker and I went out, and Wynn got up in the day 25, 30 mile an hour. We just couldn't hear anything. Never got on a turkey for him. But, yeah, man, 12-hour round trip and 30 minutes of hunting, I was done. It was a lot of fun.
Barrett,
I don't want to insult y'all.
Shout out to Brandon, though. If you're still alive, if your wife didn't stab you in the spleen middle of the night.
Let's do this. How long have you turkey hunted? Like, when did you start turkey hunting? And
man, I went with my dad when I was younger. I didn't really start turkey hunting. I killed my first one when I was 14 or 15 in high school. I didn't really get into it until after high school. I mentioned on the podcast we did with Austin Booth, because I played baseball during the spring. Never really had time to go turkey hunting. I always wanted to. So after I got in college, 2017, since then, I really,
okay,
really got into it.
So it's been 6-7 years, really, that you've gone after them?
Yeah, it okay. has. And, man, it gets a hold of you. It's I think it's my favorite thing to do, especially in that moment when they're coming. You're set up, call to them, they respond, and they're getting closer and closer. You can't see them, but you know they're coming. Just the anticipation is
your favorite thing, more than duck hunting.
I think it is. In the moment.
So
I know.
Weird to me.
That's why boars don't tag you and everything.
I know.
That's exactly why.
I mean, I love killing mallards in the timber, or wood ducks, or hooded mergansers. I don't care. I love killing ducks. But there's just something about spring turkey season, man. It gets okay. a hold of you. It gets a hold of me.
Well,
not everybody.
Dive into that for a second. Like, why? Like, what about it is so cool? Because for somebody that's never done it.
Yeah. So, I'm not a giant morning person. You can ask anybody that knows me. All you guys, you know, I'm quiet in the mornings. It takes me till about 9 o'clock. But there's something about the spring woods waking up. You hear that first owl go. You hear the songbirds. Turkeys start gobbling. And once you hear one, you know you're in the game. They may be a long ways away and you have to go get in the game, or maybe they're in somebody else's game on another property and you can't get to it. But, yeah, there's just something about being out there hearing the woods wake up. I think it's the responsive nature. Once you start working one, like I was talking about, there's just,
yeah,
there's nothing like it. The only thing I've experienced like that is elk hunting. So, and okay. that's where all the Western guys get mad at me comparing elk hunting to turkey hunting. But I mean,
I can't relate to elk hunting yeah. in any way, but this turkey thing the more that we've done this and the more that I've got to know more people that duck hunt, at least most of them do prefer turkey hunting, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's extremely weird to me. I don't understand it. So I've been trying to figure out like what's the draw to this turkey thing. So
it's just a giant adrenaline rush. I mean, usually if you're, I think I told you this when I was driving down there, we talked for a couple hours. When you're duck hunting, you see a duck within usually 60 seconds to 90 seconds, that duck's either going to fall in the hole or you're never going to see him again. And that's it. And that's a great 60 to 90 seconds. Love it. If you ask me during duck season, I'll probably tell you ducks are my favorite. But right now it's turkey season. I'm saying turkeys are my favorite. But where I was going with that is you have that 60 to 90 second anticipation. You're watching ducks multiplied by however long he's gobbling and coming to you. And then when he's quiet, and then you have to make the decision and just the woodsmanship that goes into it. I think that's another thing too. Just a lot of the experiences that I've had, every time I go out, I learn something different, and you build on that with every hunt.
Okay. Did you notice anything different in Alabama compared to Arkansas?
They had turkeys.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, you can't really learn anything on a hunt like that. It was, you heard the turkey, you literally yelped one note at him and he comes. Like, we got out to the turkey and I said, hold on, guys. And everybody got quiet. And I hit my mouth call for a second. I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure I made a call this morning. Because literally, Brandon called one time and that turkey was in our laps.
Do you, because y'all have like, what, there's box calls, there's slate calls, there's mouth calls. Mm-hmm. What did whoever yelped to it, what was it on?
It was with a mouth call.
It was with a mouth call. Yeah. Is that 90% of what most people use?
Yeah, I'd say so. The guys that are running and gunning and getting after it.
Okay. So did, when you were there that morning, because you said y'all didn't roost one, right?
Right.
Did you owl hoot that morning, or did you just listen?
We just listened that morning.
You didn't have to do anything? You just like, hey, I'm over here, come shoot me?
I'm over here, come catch me if you can, kind of.
It sounded like come shoot me.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the easiest turkey hunts I've ever been on. There wasn't a ton that went into it. Woodsmanship killed that turkey, and having knowledge of the property where you're hunting.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Tucker heard the turkey gobble. He said, he's in the Castle Woods. I said, whatever the Castle Woods is, great, let's go.
Saddle up my horse.
We got to the pine thicket. He knew where to go in the pine thicket because he's killed a turkey from that place before. He knew the direction that they like to come historically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, more than him coming to that one call, it was we were in the right position because Tucker knew his property.
He knew what he what was probably going to happen. How turkeys
react there.
And that's cool. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Sounds a lot easier in Alabama than North Carolina to me.
It was that morning. Was easy, yes. So you went to North Carolina.
You only hunted one day?
I hunted 30 minutes.
Well,
I went.
Yes.
I went the next day with Tucker and Brandon. I wasn't.
Did they both kill one?
First one up? No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay.
We actually got on one the next morning. We heard him gobble one time on the roost, and this is crazy. We, for the next 2 hours, we went around calling, trying to get that turkey to respond to us. And we finally gave up after 2 hours. We're like, all right, let's go somewhere else. So we just cut back through the middle to get to the truck, took a straight line to the truck, and we went down in the bottom where we heard that turkey gobble. And at 8:30 in the morning, the turkey flew off the roost. He was just sitting up there watching us all morning, never made a peep.
Huh.
And walked under his tree.
He said, I know this property too, boys.
So, yeah, we only killed one, and it was in the first 30 minutes.
Okay.
Do you think it was that big one that he sent the picture of?
No, it wasn't. That was after.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, I know the picture was
after. It was a different property.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Cool deal.
So, Alabama was, it was
fun. What's the next state, then? What's the next state you want to mark off? Like, do you have a game plan for somewhere else?
I might go to North Dakota in May.
Oh, okay. So, like, real soon. Yeah. Not planning for next year. You're planning for next month.
Yeah, I have an invite. I just don't know scheduling-wise if I'm going to be able to make it work.
What, you shot an Eastern in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
So, what are you shooting if you go to North Dakota?
I believe they're Merriam's.
I think so.
They should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they don't gobble as loud or something or another. That's what we talked about.
Yeah, Merriam's just have the funky high pitch gobble.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. What? I mean, good luck if you get to go. Are you going to hunt anywhere between now and then?
I'll hunt Arkansas this week.
Are you going to hunt Arkansas?
Okay. Yeah, at some point. I'm going to have to go at least once.
I've seen people. I mean, there's some people that have killed them. Mm-hmm. So they're around.
Yeah.
If you can find them.
I know of one that got killed today, actually.
Yep. Justin killed one this morning.
That's not who I was thinking of. So I guess I know of two that got shot today.
There you go.
That's the only two in the state.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Barrett. It's story time.
Y'all can get your tissue ready.
He's already gone through the whole bottle of bourbon over there preparing for this story.
It's a tearjerker.
Well, let me start from the very beginning. It can
Please
be
do.
A tearjerker. So I got an invite, probably end of duck season. So January. And shout out to Sharper Nearson, who I kind of got to know through the Northeast Arkansas deal and up at DLW, and he's from Georgia and has a business out in North Carolina, and he just like randomly threw it out there. He was like, dude, you ought to come turkey hunt in North Carolina with me. And I kind of was like, cool, man, yeah, sure, whatever. And then he said something else about it, and I was like, if you're offering, like, I'm coming. So it's if the invite's open, like, I've never done it. I'm going to give it a try, see what happens. So we set it up. I told him, I was like, look, I've got, these are the dates I have open, which I can make it work on opening weekend for North Carolina. And so he was like, come on. So I left Friday, leading up to that. So like the week before, he's sending me pictures of like birds on,
getting you amped
on
up.
The ground. He's like, I've got them patterned. I've got like, and I'm like, dude, this is, kind of like duck hunting. Like you're going in, you're like, dude, this is about to be a goat rope. Like this is going to be, I was like, this is 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm home. Yeah.
I'm going to Alabama running.
So I was like amped. I was like, dude, this is going to, we're going to roll in. We're going to roll these things up. I'm headed back type deal. So I leave Friday morning at 4:30 in the morning and drive 10 and a half, 11 hours straight through to North Carolina. I get over there. I don't know. I get over there around 6 something that evening, and Sharp. And when he told me, he was like, yeah, we've got a, cause they own like a nursery. Like they grow like flowers and trees and plants or whatever. And when he told me that, I don't know what I expected, but when I showed up, I did not expect what I pulled up to. So like pulled up, and I mean, it's a legit, like, close to 40-acre deal. Like they've got houses on the, I mean, they're growing. They've got, it's, and it's in the foothills of the Appalachians. So it's gorgeous. And they've got this little farmhouse on this property that, I mean, we would sit in the evenings on this back patio overlooking the back of the property, kind of feeding into the foothills, and it had like ponds, and it was this big like draw, and so the dogs would just take off running down and chase the geese on the ponds. And then it's beautiful out there. I have never been to North Carolina, so I was like, dude, this is incredible. So anyways,
did you take Huck with you?
I took Huck with me. Cool. And dude, they just ran amok.
Huck the turkey dog.
They just ran amok out there. So anyways, so left Friday, 10 and a half, 11 hours down, get up Saturday morning. He's got access to a 300-acre tree farm, and it's got a river that runs across the back of the property. And he was like, I know there's some gobblers out there. Like, I already know where we're going to set up. I kind of have an idea of where they're coming in from the bottoms at. And I was like, sweet, let's go. So we get up the next morning at 5. I think we left the place at 5:30. We were out there by 5:45 type deal. So we're in place at 5:45. Sun comes up right before 7, and dude, they just start hammering right behind us. Like it's three gobblers just as loud and hard as they can go. And I was like, this, I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, this is unreal. And so they're just firing off, and he's like, dude, they're coming up. Like we're kind of in this clump of tall bushes, and right next to us, like 10 yards, is where the property kind of falls off into the bottoms down to the river. And you can hear there's two of them right behind us on that river. And he was like, they're coming up from the left right there. And we had some, like, we had some hens come out, but the gobblers just never, like, from what we could tell, they came off the roost and they headed down the river. Like, they didn't come up into the field like what we had expected. But that Saturday, I mean, the wind gusts were, we were dealing with 25 to 35 mile an hour wind gusts. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, I mean,
okay, y'all both talked about wind. Why are y'all talking about the wind so much? Because it's not like they're flying into the decoys
and,
like
and,
ducks.
And I am not a turkey hunter, but from what I asked a ton of questions, but
smart man,
kind of what and I'm going off of what Sharp said. I have no idea he could have been BSing me the whole time. So,
his second time,
yeah. But I was asking Sharp because apparently, from what he had figured out in North Carolina, is like if it's windy like that, they're just going to shut up. Like, they'll gobble right at daylight, but then they just shut up. And for the most part, that's kind of what happened, dude. We were out there all day. I mean, 13 hours we were out there.
Sounds fun.
I say that we took a break, went and got lunch, came back type deal. Yeah. So it was like came back out there, and then right at dusk, one of them hammered from like 200 yards out, and we just like stood up and just took off. I mean, it was a dead sprint.
Did y'all stay in the same spot the whole day?
We kind of,
like, other than going to get lunch,
kind of moved a little bit, kind of hoping that, because there were three roosting, I mean, right on that river, and so we were hoping one of them would kind of swing out and show himself type deal. But right before dusk, one, he hammered probably 300 yards out, and so we just sprinted down to the end of this property, and we should have dropped down into the bottoms, but we didn't because we were scared we were gonna spook them, because we knew they were coming back to roost. And there were three hens coming back, a Jake and a gobbler coming back, and we saw the hens coming, and we heard two of the hens fly up into the tree, and you could hear the Jake coming, and we were like, where's the gobbler at? And like, I don't know,
how far are you from watching them go up to roost?
50 yards.
Okay, so you're in range.
Yeah. But we're high, they're down in the bottom, and there's just trees and trash everywhere. Like, I belly crawled up to the edge to look down, and you could see them walking along the bank of the river. You could see the hens and stuff. Well, they flew up into the tree, and like right at dark, I mean, we were out there till 8:15, 8:30, and you heard that gobbler fly up and hit that tree, and we could never get to him. And so it was like, dude, it was all day.
Do you like that or do you not like that?
No, it's
I would love that. So, like, I like to be in the woods. So.
First off, my muscles got so, because there were hours where I did not move at
really?
All. Yes. Like, I mean, did not move my head.
So you're,
I mean,
like deer hunting them.
Yes. So, because we knew kind of the path they were coming in, and so we were trying to not spook them if we could. But I mean, it was still. So that was day one.
Y'all just sitting up against a tree watching the field at that point?
Well, so at the end of the day, we never hunted out of a blind.
Yeah.
It was a lot of up against a tree, up against a fence row, and then like different clumps of it's a tree farm, so there's like all types of different low and
did
high.
Did you have a vest with like a seat?
No, I didn't.
Just
my
bare butt
was on the ground. My butt cheek still hadn't recovered. So like my right one's probably numb for the next year.
This is the first time he sat down since he's been back.
So that was end of day one. And I mean, it was, and I agree. Like, I will give it to turkey hunters. Like, when those things fire off, like, it's, I mean, it's impressive, and it's fun to sit there and listen to them.
Yeah.
And it's fun to listen to the hens, because I mean, those hens get to chattering and they get mad at each other or whatever. Like, it's fun to listen to. So my favorite part of this is day two. So day two is Sunday. North Carolina on Sundays, on, I don't know if it's public and private, but private land, you can only hunt till 9:30 in the morning, and then you have to stop. And then it's a 3-hour break from 9:30 to 12:30 for church.
For church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and this is where it gets crazy. So we had access to another farm that Sharp had killed turkeys off of before. And so he was like, let's go give it a shot. I don't know how many are even over here, because no birds roost on this farm. There's a clear cut behind it that they all roost on, and then they come over onto the farm. So we get out there, and when I tell you, like, it's, I mean, it was elevation. I mean, it was not hike. It's hike, hike in.
It's climb. I
mean, yeah, we climbed into the top of this deal. So we get set up. We get set up, and he had one hen decoy that he would set out. Well, there's two horses and a donkey in this field. And dude, when I tell you they were pissed, they were pissed. And that I watched that horse multiple times jump up in the air and try and kick that donkey. Kick the decoy.
Over. Really? Yeah.
The donkey would come over and just like grab it and pick it up and walk off and like we were all just like. Like trying to get it to go away, yeah. And he just threw, like they, he was so frustrating, but it was so funny at the same time. So we were dealing with that. So as the sun's starting to come up, we hear two gobblers in the distance. I mean, and one of them, he was like, "There's one out here that's huge," and he fired, and you could tell he was different from all the other ones out there.
Yeah, long.
He just rolled on it, and he was like, "Dude, he's out there." Well, then, like we're kind of set up on this tree line, being real quiet, and we hear there's two birds behind us. I mean, and I'm talking when I say behind us, like 15 feet behind us. Well, it's two hens, and they fly down off the tree in front of us. The first one lands and she's just kind of like pecking around or whatever. The second one was that boss hen that came off and she was pissed that decoy was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came out and just strutted, puffed up, like strutted around. I mean, it was an impressive show. Like, I mean, to watch her get frustrated or whatever. So it's now probably, I'd say it's probably 8:30 and that gobbler fires off again and he sounds closer. And we were like, okay, you know, we're going to give him, so Sharp's kind of calling or whatever, and you can hear these hens in this field right in front of us. So we're hoping maybe they're going to draw him in or whatever. About 9 o'clock, he fires off again and he's close and we pick up and just sprint out into the woods. And we find we're on this ridge that kind of falls off and we're on this trail and you can like Sharp would call, he'd hammer again. And like, I, like at this point now, like my adrenaline's up because you can tell he's on a rope. He's coming.
He's hot.
And so we set up on this cut through the woods and, set up, get ready. Sharp calls, like you can hear him. I mean, I bet he's 50, 60 yards and he's moving. Well, he gets quiet and he gets quiet for 5 minutes or so. And I can tell Sharp's kind of like, oh, crap. Like, I don't know if we bumped him or whatever. Well, Sharp calls again. And you hear a gobble, and it sounds further away. And so Sharp was like, crap, he turned around. He's going away from us. Well, Sharp was like, I'm going to stand up and drop down the hill and call and kind of make it sound like I'm going away and see if it'll draw him in. Well, when Sharp stood up and went down the hill, we think it scared the one that was almost to us because the one that was gobbling was that one, the older one that was sitting back there in the clear cut. Mm. And so we bumped that one that was probably 40 yards from us.
It
was like so close. Mm-hmm. So we were coming up on the 9:30 cutoff anyway. Like if we would have had another hour to play with it, maybe we wouldn't have, you know, tried to rush it. And I think, and even Sharp was like, dude, I tried to rush it. Like, my bad. I tried to rush it. And I was like, dude, it's no big deal. But we hit the 9:30 cutoff. We were like, look, let's go back and get breakfast, let the dogs out, and then we'll come back and try it again. Cause I mean, we're still hearing turkeys gobble. So we were hopeful still at this point. So we come back we're back in the spot we wanted to hunt at right at 12:30. Like we're there, dude, like an hour later, Sharp, I fell asleep. I was out. Like I was dead asleep.
Some of the best naps in the world.
I didn't even realize. Like I woke up.
Butt cheek fell asleep. You fell asleep too.
I was sitting in this like little turkey chair deal or whatever. And I was gone. Had my head leaned up against a barbed wire fence and I looked over. I was like, how long? He was like, dude, it's been like 2.5 hours. I was like,
what?
He's like, I left, went to town, came back.
So I'm kind of back awake and now I'm refreshed. I'm like, okay, good. I'm ready to go. Let's do this. And I look up, Sharp pulls his binoculars out. And keep in mind, we're high and this field just falls off and probably somewhere, I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of like 1,200 to 1,500 foot of elevation drop to the bottom of this field. Like it just falls off. He pulls his binoculars out and he's like, I can't tell what that is or whatever. Anyways, there's two hens at the very bottom of this field across a creek, and there's a massive strutting gobbler down there chasing them. Like, he's just right behind them. And Sharp kind of looks at me and he's like, okay, here's our option. We can sit here and we can hope one of the ones in the clear cut, if we didn't bump them too bad, comes out. Or we can drop into the woods and fall down this hill and try and get in front of them and kill him. And I was like, dude, I don't hear anything happening behind us. He's standing right there. Like, we might as well give it a shot. So we pack up and I can almost say we just fell down the hill. That's like what it was. Like, it was, we like headed back into the woods and then dropped down this hill. And it was just kind of like, let your legs go and get down there as fast as we can. And we got down, crossed the creek, because he was getting held up. Like, we were calling and you could tell he was getting held up on the creek, wouldn't cross the creek. And so we get down to the creek and we hit he's following this road, and we come out on the road, and I was kind of staying behind Sharp or whatever. And when Sharp stopped and then he like hit his belly, I was like, no. And so we army crawled this okay. And first off, let me step back. So I was like, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to buy the correct gear. So I bought the Sitka stuff, and you know, those Equinox pants come with knee pads. Well, my tail took the knee pads out, and now I know why they're in those pants. So I'm dragging myself and my gun and my pack up this road, and just like, I mean, eating my shoulders and elbows and knees alive, climbing up this thing. And we crest on this road, and dude, they just vanished. Like, they were gone. I mean, it was unreal. I mean, dude, she's doing laps.
Oh, Ruby.
Yeah.
She's literally doing a hot lap in there.
They just disappeared. I don't know where they went.
They vanished.
So we both of us kind of sat there, and we were at that point, we were both defeated, because there was a lot of work that went into that. And that was the first time I really like sweat the whole trip, but I was drenched. I mean, it was work. And so we kind of looked at each other and we both kind of laughed, because it was like, dude, where did they go? Like, they didn't, there's no way they saw us. I mean, we were so hidden when we came through the woods, and we dropped down below them to where, and they were blocked the whole time. Like, they never had a chance to see us until we kind of intersected on the road right there. So we just, who knows? We don't know what happened, but we didn't get them. Well, Sharp kind of looked at me and he was like, all right, at this point it's 5:30. And he kind of looks at me and he's like, all right, we know where that roost tree is in the bottoms. He was like, you want to give it one more go? Because this is I have to leave in the morning. And I was like, sure. So we load up and we fly. I mean, we're 20, 30 minutes from the other farm. And so we fly back over to the other farm, run back down to the bottoms.
Did you have to climb back up that hill?
Yeah, we had to go get our stuff.
Holy crap.
I forgot about that. We had to go back up. Because we left the decoy and the chairs and everything else. So we had to go back.
We'll get them later.
Yeah. We climbed back up there and got the stuff, came back down, flew over to the other farm, ran down into the bottoms. And dude, this time we were like, okay, we're setting up on the trail they walked in on. Like, I mean, they don't have a choice. They can't get around us. So we get settled in at 6:30. When we were there the night before, they started showing back up a little after 7. So we were pretty confident, like, between 7 and 8, like, we're gonna have a chance. And again, we got in there at 6:30. I did not move a muscle. Like, I have not moved in an hour. And we start to, like, you can, and this is what I find crazy about these birds. They're very impressive when they fly up and off a tree. For the size, their wings don't make a whole lot of noise. Like, they're very quiet. Mm-hmm. But when they're walking through the woods, they are the noisiest sounding freaking bird. Like, you can tell, like, you can hear them from 100 yards out. Like, they're walking towards you. I mean, it's unreal how loud they are walking in the woods. Well, we could hear them, and both of us were like, okay, they're coming. Let's just see what, we didn't call. We weren't going to make any noise. Like, we're just going to see what happens. And they start coming down, and we heard one fly up in a tree, and we're like, okay, crap. They kind of short-stopped us a little bit. Hopefully they'll come on down. Cause I'm staring at the tree that they're going into, cause I know where they're roosting at.
Barrel pointed in the direction.
almost. Okay. So it's right before 8 PM. It's like 7:45. I'm on the ground. Sharp's behind me, like 6 foot. I have not moved. I mean, I'm like face mask, like the whole deal, guns ready, like if they come down the trail. And I see something move out of the corner of my eye, and I barely turn my head to my right. And from me to that door right there is a hen, and she is standing there. She has not seen me or anything. And
if you're not watching, that's about 3 yards.
It's about 3 yards. Yeah. 3 to 5 yards. She's to my right. And she's and we couldn't tell which direction they were coming from. So she lifts off from right there, and she flies over the top of me.
That's cool.
Oh, and man.
I sit up with my gun, and Sharp was... I could hear the gasp behind me, like, from Sharp. And I pulled my gun up and put my barrel, like... I mean, she's right there. Put my barrel on her, and I go... And Sharp just lost it. He was like, dude, I thought you were about to fold her up. And she came across.
So the game warden watching y'all, he's like, oh.
Slow motion.
So that both those hens roosted. Gobbler and the Jake never came back.
Dang, man.
So we walked out in the dark, and I was like, that was it. So
wow.
That was a good first hunt, though.
Drove my tail home.
Because if it had been a 30-minute hunt, you'd have been like, oh.
Oh, this is cake.
It's going to be like this all the time. I'm hooked. Like, now you've got a fair representation of, like, okay, it's a lot of swinging, missing.
Yeah.
Like, Matt's 30-minute turkey hunt, that's not.
It's not normal.
That's not normal.
No. And I can see where I can see where the fun is. These things are hard to freaking hunt. I mean, they're, especially in the dang mountains. Like,
yeah.
I was exhausted. I slept phenomenal.
I mean, you go to Kansas, they're hard to hunt because you can see forever.
And like, they can see
everybody can see everybody for forever.
It was, man, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was humbling because, I mean, I got my tail whooped. So
I think most people do when they go turkey hunting, though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I learned a lot. Saw a lot. What was
something you didn't expect?
I'd never seen, you know, you see videos online all the time of the big gobbler strutting around. I'd never seen a hen do that. So, I mean, to watch her do that, I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, and she's a big old butterball. She's an old hen. She's an old hen. So it was fun to watch that. The thing that blew me away was the sound. I fully expected it to be so much more noisy. Like when they fly, I missed a part, and I'll go back to this in a minute. When they take off to go get in a tree, like I expect it to be a loud, just feathers all over the place, but they're actually really quiet taking off. So
interesting.
So the first night when we were set up and we knew that they were roosting over there, Sharp, we dropped down to the edge of the bottoms, and Sharp started calling. He pulled one of the Jakes off the tree, and I mean, I was dead in front, and I watched him fall off that tree
came off the roost. Wow.
Back That's to impressive. Us. Yeah.
I've never heard of
and
that
so,
before.
And Sharp uses a wing bone call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to listen to that call. Cause I mean, like you hear the mouth call and you hear the box call or whatever, but that wing bone call is so loud. So loud. Huh. So like he'd hit a wing bone call and you could hear it clear across the farm. Like it was so loud, but it was real cool to experience that and see that. But yeah, that was the first time I saw one come off the tree. And like when he opened up and came off the tree, and I was like, dude, because that was when we were like, dude, he's coming. Like he's on it. He came off the tree. He's coming right to us. He hit the tree and took a hard right. Or he hit the creek and took a hard right.
He said, I ain't roosting here.
That's a bad place. I better move on down.
I've heard that wing bone before.
But man, it was, I had a blast.
You gonna try it again?
I kind of have to now, because I was like, I can't just let them beat me and give up and be like, well, I gave it a good try. Like,
so what does trying it again look like? Are you planning on trying again here in Arkansas?
Oh, I haven't even made it that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
First, he's gonna try to go find a turkey vest.
Yeah. Or a cushion.
Something. Sharp had this pretty cool little turkey chair. I just don't know if I want to lug a little turkey chair around with me.
Yeah.
There's even vests that have chairs built into them.
Oh, like really?
You can just prop up.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The seating thing was interesting.
I started to ask you whenever I got wind that you were going, and I thought, nah, I bet they worked that out.
No. Well, so Sharp had this other, he brought this like little, and I sat in this, and I was cracking up thinking about this, but he brought this like other little like blue setup chair thing or whatever, and I was like, here I am decked head to toe, you cannot see anything but my eyes, and I'm sitting in this bright blue chair.
Isn't blue one of the colors you're not supposed to use when you're turkey hunting?
Blue, black, and red.
Well, they didn't get close enough to see the blue, so
but it was comfortable for,
a little bit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, but
man, it was fun. I the challenge of the hills, I think, really kind of did it for me. Yeah. I was like, this is,
you like that?
I like the challenge of, I mean, when it was time to get up and run and go, and dude, you hit a hill and you're like, oh, I'm not in the shape that I thought I was. So
what shell did you go by, turkey shells, or did you just like,
I'm shot Josh Pitts, the Rocky Ridge, the TSS.
Okay.
And I never got to pull the trigger,
or at least that's what you carried.
Yeah, that's
you.
What I carried with me, so they
and brought
good.
Back.
Yeah. Somehow I lost one.
Call Josh and be like, hey, I need to return these.
Is that your way of saying you actually missed a turkey? You just didn't want to tell us.
No,
I lost a show.
I wish I could tell you I pulled the trigger, but I didn't. I mean, it was funny. When that hen took off, there was for a split second, I was like, I'm about to goose hunt this turkey right over the top of me, and you could hear it. And we died laughing afterwards, because when I set up, shouldered that gun, and I was like, on her, and I was like, I'm about to roll her, and I just went, pow.
I'm sure his heart stopped.
He was losing it.
He was like, he started laughing. He was like, you were mad. I was like, oh, I'm not that mad. But dude, it was fun. He's a genuine guy. It was super cool. Man, had beautiful country out there.
Yeah,
beautiful country. So I'd like to just go back to North Carolina.
Okay, so like no interest for here. Just like I'll plan again for next year, North Carolina.
I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. So it's hard for me to go, oh yeah, I'm going to go try this when I have. Now I've kind of seen an idea of like what it is, but
yeah,
I don't know how to call. I don't know how to do any of that. So I could at least go out and sit.
Did he use anything other than a mouth call? Oh, with a wing bone?
No, he used a. He had a mouth. I mean, you name it, he had it on him.
He tried it.
My favorite was to listen to that wing bone call.
Yeah. That's cool.
Because it cool. just, it had a weird, it had a loud yelp to it. And it was, I mean, it just echoed. So it was kind of like what I think, like when he did it, I was like, it's kind of like using a spec call, like the, that loud kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. So
would they gobble to a spec call?
Oh,
gobble, yeah.
I mean, that's like what they do with the owl, right?
We had honkers fly over, and they gobble
it,
to the honkers fly.
Did he use one of those?
No, he didn't use them. He said he knew people that did.
Do people still carry peacock calls?
Not anyone I know.
So when I was younger, like that was a big thing. They carried like a peacock call.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what a peacock call would sound like.
I don't either.
Can you give us an
I'm not going example, to. Please? I almost did, but I'm not going to.
Why not?
Your kid's sleeping there. He's all waking right. up. He'd be like, peacocks.
Sharp would do a crow call, and Sharp, don't hate me for saying this, but his crow call was just him screaming.
Did it work? Did it ever work?
No, it did work.
Well,
so I'll give it to him. So the first time he did it, I was like, I don't know if that's what.
Did you bring me all the way out here to pull my leg?
That's not what Arkansas crows sound like.
No, Sharp did a great job, man. He killed it. I mean, there were birds there. I can't say anything. Yeah. Like, there were birds there.
That's we cool just, you got to experience
yeah.
the goblin and everything.
Oh, dude. When the first morning when those three fired off, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. So
I'm a little jealous.
It just I want to try it again. I can't get beat like that.
Yeah,
so I got a bad taste in my
let's
mouth.
let's just go just newbie just go. It. Yeah,
I'll go new. I mean, I'd love to go try and figure out how to what is it, a scratch call, like what do you call it,
slate
call,
slate or box. What's pot it?
You're talking about the one button. With the,
well, so the box like call is the one that like it has a little hinge on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was using a slate with the
pot looks, call.
Yeah. So I mean, and that I was watching him do that, and I was like, that doesn't seem that hard. Like it's just the finding the right angle and the rhythm. So like the cadence of the call or whatever. So. But no, I mean, Sharp knew what he was doing. We just couldn't finish the deal.
Mm.
So, We got close a couple times, and it just, man.
You get your heart rate up any?
When we left and ran into the woods down that trail, and when you could, I mean, when it was obvious he was coming,
yeah,
that's when I was like, I got the little bit of the excitement of for a split, it was also kind of chilly that morning. So I was like, I can't tell if I'm cold or if I'm shivering from the adrenaline, but I was kind of cold that morning because I cut a layer.
Well, let's compare it to the Oryx hunt.
Oh.
You weren't cold in the Oryx
hunt. I was not cold. I was not cold during the Oryx
hunt. Couldn't shed another layer. Yeah,
I could have, and I would have been escorted off by the military.
They'd be like, ah, daggum alien people out here.
Got a streaker.
Trying to get probed.
It was... I'd say it's very similar.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, as far as like the excitement, it was not, I don't know how fast that you have to draw down on a turkey, but I mean, the whole Oryx thing was like, it just seemed like it was happening at 1,000 miles an hour.
So, okay.
I don't know.
Ah, man, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you got to experience it. I'm glad you liked it enough to like say, I'm doing it again.
It was actually really for, because it was a total of about 96 hour trip, round trip. 26 hours of hunting total time. I mean, the drive out there is not bad. So I was like, it's really not, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I never felt absolutely worn out or exhausted or whatever. So
maybe if you get really, really good at it, you'll get an invite from Matt.
Yeah. And I agree with Matt. I do like the fact that it's not like you're not waking up at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. and you're not going out and it's freezing cold and It is kind of
there's nice, just it's bugs
nice,
and snakes.
It's nice
and,
being in on dry ground.
Yeah,
yeah. So
no waiters.
Yeah,
I'd much rather take cold and no snakes.
Well, so North Carolina didn't really have any snakes.
They got black bears.
Well, we didn't run into any of those.
Supposedly, they have the biggest black bears in the nation.
Yeah, they got like diabetes.
That's because they're feeding them donuts.
They have diabetes because they eat peanuts.
Yeah, they don't hibernate over there. It doesn't get cold enough for
them.
Well,
I asked him, I was like, you know, should we be concerned about snakes? And he was like, dude, we're going to be in the foothills of the Appalachians. Like, it's...
I figure they have some kind of rattlesnake.
They may, but...
He's probably just telling you that. Like, don't
maybe
worry
so,
about it.
Yeah.
We're about, loaded with snakes. What about,
they got mountain lions over there? Surely they do.
Yeah, they got panthers.
They got all kinds of stuff.
What's the difference between a mountain lion, a panther, and a cougar?
Where the...
Age.
Spelling?
I don't know.
I think it's just the region of the... there.
And a puma. A puma is another one.
We hunted in Morganton, North Carolina, right next to Lake James. It was very similar to like Lake Washita feel.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
it's like pretty country. The Washita's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little bit steeper.
Yeah, a little bit bigger.
I didn't know they got much steeper than Washita.
It's a little steeper out there. Yeah, I thought
I just hear a baby crying.
But that was my experience.
That would be mine.
I look forward to trying again at some point.
That's awesome. I'm glad you got to experience it.
I'm gonna make one more mention here.
Yeah.
I get why everybody does not want to shoot a 12-gauge turkey hunting because the weight of carrying that gun around up and down those freaking hills. Yep. I was like, well, this was a terrible idea.
Yeah, and you can shoot a 20-gauge just as far.
Exactly. So I realized real quick. I was like, oh.
So now you're looking for 20-gauge for before next season?
No,
410.
410.
Even though I was like, I'd like to see what this 12-gauge does. She gets to barking. So,
do you know what choke were you shooting?
I bought a Rob Roberts Raptor.
Do you know what constriction it was? Or restriction?
660?
Constriction.
660.
660?
Mm-hmm. So I ended up buying two, and I bought one that was a 685. And then in my research, I realized, that's the wrong.
Yeah, 685. Yeah.
That's a fool. Yeah.
So like, you went like instead of full, you went extra full.
Yeah,
but I thought you weren't supposed to. I thought you could over choke TSS.
You can TSS, but I mean, you still need to be constricted down.
Yeah,
I mean, a full choke's pretty open.
Okay, I was told with that Rocky Ridge, it was gonna be like throwing golf balls at them. So at 300 miles an hour.
If I'm faster 300 miles an hour.
Whatever it is. So,
13. But,
yeah.
I guess probably 1,300, maybe a little less, but I don't know.
Oh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we've talked about Alabama. We've talked about North Carolina.
So, hold on. As our resident turkey hater, how are you feeling after these first two?
What do you mean by turkey hater?
You are a hater.
I'm not a turkey hater. I just, number one, I don't understand it. Number two, ducks are better. Number three, bass fishing is more fun and you have more success. But anyhow, I don't hate turkeys.
You have a number four?
Or is I didn't figure I needed a D.
That's funny. Okay.
Continue. Let's go to Missouri.
Yeah.
We went, somebody killed a turkey, somebody didn't kill a turkey. Let's go back to the person that did kill a turkey. No offense.
None taken.
Hey, you got the novice side at least, right?
I got the full experience.
It sounds so, like it really sounds like
Barrett, that's what he wants. He wants the full experience out of it.
The other thing is like you didn't do it any of the quote unquote cheating or easier ways. Like you didn't sit in a blind.
We didn't
reap one, which no offense to people that reap one. If that's what you do, that's fine. But some people look down on you. You didn't try to take any shortcuts.
And I even brought it up to Sharp. We talked about the difference in the decoys that you put out there.
Right.
And he was like, I don't even put out, you know, cause he even made the comment. And again, I don't know if I'm about to piss off a whole turkey hunting population here, but yeah,
probably.
Yeah. He was like, I don't even put a strutter decoy out there with a fan open, because he was like, you know, if they see that, there's a lot of times they come flying in there cause they're pissed off.
I think the hardcore times turkey the people.
Too. Yeah. If they're not the dominant bird,
then they don't.
They've been whipped a few times. They're not going to come into that.
Hardcore turkey people don't even use decoys, right? Isn't that like
they fashion them out of mud.
That's right. A lot of people don't. I mean, I do sometimes, and majority of the time I don't. But
I mean, no shame either way. I would disagree
with you on the statement that like the cheating or the easy way out the blind.
And I don't know the right way to say that.
I know where you're going at, but I mean, it's like a conversation that phone call. I mean, if it's legal, you enjoy it, and I mean, more power to you. We have so many people outside of the hunting community that are trying to take away our rights and want to stop us. And then we as hunters go in, and I'm just using what you said
as an example,
to go in and cut, oh, he's cheating because he's doing this. This is the right way to do it. This is the wrong way. We're on Facebook. We're tearing each other down, and we're pissed off at each other. And there's a whole outside population that already want to take away what we're doing, and all we're doing is giving them more ammo.
Mm-hmm.
They see us fighting with each other, and I don't know, man. That's something that gets me fired up a little bit.
No, you're right. No, you're 100% right, and that's why I was saying, like, I don't know the right way to say it other than maybe the people that take it as, like, turkey, like, the way we take duck hunting as, like, it's duck season, this is life right now, this is the greatest thing that we're going to do, and our whole focus is to experience it, kill a duck, and have a good experience. Whereas some is like, I'm going duck hunting because I want to shoot some ducks. Like, that's why I'm going duck hunting. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's just we try to go a different route for a different experience, and neither one of them is wrong.
Right.
But it's easy for one side to judge the other. Mm-hmm. Oh, you did it the wrong way, which is not really the wrong way. Like what you're saying, if it's legal.
Yeah,
you don't
have to agree with it. I mean, there's a lot of things. Deer hunting, high fence versus low fence. I don't have a desire to hunt a high fence. I am not going to bash anyone for going. A lot of people, they only have a few days to hunt. Maybe they work a corporate job in a big city, and they want to go out and experience the outdoors. If they want to go to a high fence, have at it. It's the same thing, private versus public, getting on Facebook. I would just caution people that are listening to take a step back and think about the outside world, look it in. Like, your way, you may like a certain way better than the other side, but that doesn't mean that you're right, they're wrong. Just, I don't know. That makes sense.
Absolutely. I like it. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
So,
harumph.
So let's go to Missouri now. Because, I mean, apparently nobody hunts in Arkansas. That's just, is that not a thing? There's nobody turkey hunts in Arkansas.
Yeah. Turkey season wasn't open yet in Arkansas, was it?
It opened the same day.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you would rather spend the opening day of turkey season in a different state than in your home state?
I would. I look forward to the weekend before and opening day of Missouri turkey season more than any trip that I take every year. It's my family's place. It's on my mom's side, cousins, but I mean, I'm so close to them. I keep in touch with them all year long. They're basically a set of grandparents to me, a third set of grandparents. And I've been going up there since I was a baby. And it was really cool for me, full circle this year. I was able to take my kid up there for the weekend.
Oh, boy.
I mean, there are pictures of me 3 to 6 months old up there, and then I got to take a 3 month old. So that was really cool to
That's special
experience. And I guess I'm getting a little sentimental now that I'm a father.
Faja.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
So I'm going to take a drink real quick.
Yeah, the voice has been cracking. You've been controlling it on this one, so you're doing good.
Thanks. I just start there. There's one. So anyway, we go up there. They have a cabin in the woods that we always stay.
Shanty?
A shanty.
Two-story?
Yeah. No, this is a real... This is what I was expecting to go to. not a multi-million dollar lodge, which I love them both. Okay. Hey, Ruby.
She's getting comfortable in there.
So... My wife, kid, and my mom came up for the weekend. They had to come back for work on Monday. My dad and I stayed up there. That's what we do every year. Stayed in the cabin. And over the weekend, I was able to scout Saturday morning, Sunday morning. I had a pretty good idea where turkeys were roosted. Multiple turkeys gobbling up on the same ridge where they gobble every year. Going back to knowing the property that you're hunting, if you're fortunate enough to go back to the same spot. Continuing to learn the pattern of the turkeys, what they do. If they're roosting here, this is where they're going to go. So anyway, opening morning, I went with my dad. We went to what we call the back hayfield, and turkeys gobbled on the roost, started calling at them. And probably 30 minutes after sunrise, this did not end in a 30-minute kill.
15 minutes.
Yeah. Turkeys were coming. They gobbled. We sat down really quick. They gobbled again. They were within gun range. They were just over the lip of the hill. First one pops up. It's a Jake. Like, there's no way a Jake was making that much noise. Here comes another Jake. Here comes another Jake. Here comes another Jake. So five Jakes step out. We watch them for a while, probably an hour or so. And then Dad and I went back to the cabin, let the dogs out, like you were saying. And I went back up in the hills, but the ridge I had to cross was where all those Jakes went. So I get to the top of the ridge. I call just before I bust the top to make sure that there's not a gobbler around. And as soon as I call, I hear something walking, and I look up, and here come the Jakes again. I'm like, dadgum. So I sit on a tree, and for 30 minutes, those Jakes, they'd leave, they'd come back. They'd leave, they'd come back. And they finally came back, and it's funny what you said about with the hen. I picked my gun up, and they would walk, and I'd go to each one of them. I'd say, bang, 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 bang. So,
is that a typical thing for Jakes to kind of circle in an area like that?
Jakes are just Jakes.
They're just like teenage boys.
Yeah,
that's exactly what.
Isn't a Jake, like, it's his first year? He's never actually been really hunted by hunters. He's just, isn't that right, or am I wrong there?
Yeah, it's a first year.
Yeah, he's a young bird.
Okay.
He's a yearling.
A yearling.
In deer terms.
I don't know that either.
So they finally work off a little bit. I drop off on the back side of the ridge and walk 200 yards just to try to get him away. I didn't really want to bump him. Come back up on top, and I look 20 yards to my left, and here these Jakes are. They were just following my footsteps.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I know that hen's around here somewhere.
I was like, dad gum, guys. So I finally just blew him out of there. I'm like,
we might as well work together.
I'm like, so I'm leaving. Go ahead.
I have a question, because all this turkey stuff, I have been looking into it. I have been listening to some podcasts about it, trying to learn some stuff about it.
Yeah.
When you have that many Jakes in an area, won't they, like, beat up on the tom if you've only got one tom in the area?
A lot of times they will.
So do you think you heard a Jake gobbling that morning, or do you think they might have ran that one out of the area, or what? Or were you getting there and I just interrupted it?
No, I wasn't getting there. I skipped over it. But there was one Jake in that group that had the loudest gobble. It sounded like he was a 12-year-old turkey. It was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. He actually had a full fan, too. But, I mean, he just had a 1 to 2 inch beard on him.
Maybe it had been ripped off. And it was
maybe
like
he had beard rot, and he was just running around with a bunch of Jakes.
I was just wondering, like, did he have beard rot?
So,
is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Was it a parasite, right?
I have no idea.
I think it's a parasite that, like, eats their beard, and it'll literally just be a like that big around, but like that.
Do Jakes have spurs? Yeah, spurs.
Not like very big.
Nubbins.
Okay.
Back in deer terms.
Yeah.
Nubbin-headed deerlings. Nubbins for deerlings. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, anyway, get rid of the Jakes. And kind of like you were talking about, when there's a big group of Jakes, a Tom's not going to come around unless there are multiples. So, I knew where there were other turkeys gobbling earlier in that morning, but I had a hike to get to it down and up two or three different ridges. So I finally got to the top, and well, before I got to the top, I got about 100 yards away from the top. And what I like to do when I kill a turkey sometimes, some people may think it's weird, but if I can find my hole or if I remember to do it, I'll take a couple of the feathers and like stick it inside the hole and put it up on a tree, call it a turkey tombstone, just kind of a marker to remember
that's
the tree
cool.
you're sitting on. So I was walking up to where I thought the turkeys were, and I looked to my right, and my turkey tombstone from last year was there. I'm like, yeah, it's probably a pretty good spot.
So that's cool.
I sat down, called for 20 minutes, and it was 11 o'clock at that point, and I was really just trying to catch my breath. It was 85, 90 degrees, which that's unseasonably warm for Missouri up there. So I chilled for a while. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the top of the ridge, and I'm going to call. And I get to the top, and I'm about to call, and I can't remember if I had a monster that morning or a Celsius or what I had, but it was like, I got to use the bathroom. And that's an important part of this story. I wouldn't just throw that in there. So take care of that. Take about 10 steps, and I hear a turkey gobble close. I'm like, what in the world? But I was walking. I couldn't tell if he was on the left side of the ridge or the right side of the ridge because I was up on top. So I grab a call, hit a couple notes. He immediately cuts me off. But I was in the middle of calling. I still don't know if he's on the left side or the right side. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I finally just, I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit down right here. I'm going to look off the left side of the ridge. So I sit down. And as soon as I sit down, the only way I can describe what I heard, it sounded like there was a car crash and a tree fall behind me. I'm like, what in the world was that? I didn't know if it was a deer I had spooked and they were running through, hit a dead tree and it fell or what. So I hear the sound again and I turn around. And what I see, there are two toms jumping up in the air, flying, just going at each other, trying to spur each other. And I finally started hearing a hen probably 80 yards away. So they're fighting probably 60 yards away from me. So I know they're concentrating on each other. I get in about another 20 yards closer, and one turkey wins, the other one takes off. So I get there, sit down, and the gobbler starts going to that hen. I called, and it absolutely pissed that hen off when I did it. She started cutting and yelping, and the tom's going to him. I'm like, I really don't have anything to lose at this point. So she would cut, I would cut, he would gobble. She would cut, I would cut, he would gobble. I would cut, she would cut, I would cut, she would cut.
Dang, this sounds awesome.
I would
scratch,
he would gobble, she would get mad. We did this for probably 3 or 4 minutes. I have all the audio. I had a GoPro running, and you were talking about your heartbeat, how it starts picking up. Where I had that GoPro on my turkey vest, it was right there on my chest, so you can just hear my heart thump, 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 thump.
That's legit. That's legit.
So he gets to the hen, and I can see him strutting. They're young pines, so you can see through them really well. And he starts getting out there, spinning around, doing his thing. I yelp, and all of a sudden, he starts walking at me. I'm like, there is no way. Excuse me, I just called this tom off of this hen.
Yeah.
But he's coming, so I'm lightly yelping, and he's on full strut, and he finally spins. And when he spins, I didn't see, but the hen was right in front of him just because he was so big. So I'm calling the hen to me. She's coming on a string, and he's following her. She finally gets to about 30 yards, and I guess that was as close as she wanted to get to me. I don't know if she was just coming to show off, like, hey, just want to let you know he's with me. I'm going to leave now. So she turns. He's about 10, 12 yards behind her the whole time at this point. And being in that pine thicket, I didn't really have loud leaves. Last year, talking about learning from experiences and always gaining more knowledge, I really started scratching a lot in the leaves last year, and I had a ton of luck calling a turkey in like that. So I saw she was leaving. He kind of turned, and I start scratching, but it's pine needles, so I'm just scratching as hard as I can, trying to make sound. He finally looks up and then goes back to her, and I yelp at him, and I can't remember if he gobbled or not. So I start scratching again, and he finally steps out in a little opening that, I mean, it couldn't have been any more perfect. I looked at it on Onyx after. It was like 42 yards, and he popped that head up, and I pulled the trigger. And other experiences turkey hunting I've had, sometimes I don't make the best shot, and I have to chase him. I don't even think I look to see if I hit him. I just instantly started running straight in that direction. And I got to the end, and he was there flopping. And it was one of the coolest turkey hunts that I've ever experienced, going from watching that fight and then the 4-minute dialogue I had with that hen going back and forth. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a true wilderness experience right there.
It was. So it was 11:45. I think I killed him. And usually if you can get a turkey to gobble in the middle of the day, he's going to come to you. But that hen was there too. And it was a great show. It was fun.
He thought he won that fight.
Yeah,
he did. Oh, man. Well, that's cool. Tyler, what's your tell us your turkey experience.
I went to work.
He was supposed to go to Alabama with me.
I live vicariously.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I live vicariously
through Matt. I was like, man, I can't go. So go kill a turkey.
Well, when's your next? You say this week, next week? You're going to go Arkansas one time? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'll try to hunt Arkansas. I may even go tomorrow morning. I was supposed to go with somebody, and they just texted me, said they're not going now. So I don't know. I may try to slip in there. Get another property or some public. I don't know. I have a few options. But I will hunt in Arkansas before the year's over.
When's it end?
Yeah.
When's it end?
Over zone one, it ends Tuesday, I believe. It's only like an 8-day season. Huh. And then the rest of the state's 2 weeks.
What zone are we?
Here.
Or where are you ever you're going?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I mean, I'll either go to one or
two. Is that too much information? Is like one of those turkey things? Like, I'm telling you where I'm going.
No, I'd tell you exactly where I'm going. I just haven't made a decision yet. I don't know which zone I'm going to go to.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a duck call review.
Duck call.
Do we have anything else turkey that we want to talk about? We've gone for an hour and 14 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
I'm ready to eat some turkey.
Well, I mean, Matt's the only one that's got any.
I don't know. That's why I'm looking at him when I said that.
None
taken
here.
We'll have tag soup and turkey.
Yeah. The soup is bitter.
It is.
I'll fry it up. Y'all may have to drive to Little Rock, but y'all can come down.
I can drive to Little Rock for some turkey.
I do want to give just a quick, I mean, I know I made light of that whole deal, but dude, big props to Sharp.
Absolutely.
Sharp worked his tail off, and just the invite in general. He's working for, he's a guide over at Mossy Pond in Nebraska now. And so he's like, Sharp's legit, man.
Oh, yeah.
So. Thanks, man. I just wanted to say thanks, even though nothing happened.
He put
man,
you around birds. It wasn't like he just... Yeah.
Nebraska would be a fun spot to go turkey hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he tagged out Nebraska fast.
Nebraska's a good place to go after you've gotten your butt kicked in the mountains or in the hills. Or just go out there and have fun.
Have you shot one in Nebraska?
No, but I've filmed a bunch of them out there.
What states have you killed one in?
Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Florida, Alabama. I think that's it.
Six?
Is Oklahoma. Seven.
Is the Florida one, was it Osceola or whatever they're called?
Yeah. That was the first Osceola? Turkey I ever killed. Right? It was an Osceola.
Oh, okay. Well, you're special.
Yeah. I just live down there.
Well, cool.
So, real quick, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Chasing 49 thing. Explain that.
So, just
49 states? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Alaska's the only state in the United States that doesn't have a population of wild turkeys.
Got it.
Okay. Isn't North America the only continent that has them, that has turkeys? Or am I just...
South America has them.
Yeah, South America has them.
They just have that one kind, though, right?
They have golds and oscillated.
Oh, okay. But there's not any in Asia?
There are some in the Middle East, because they go over there and they hunt either the golds or the
oscillated. Oh, okay. Okay, I thought it was just like a North America thing. I guess we're not.
It's kind of crazy to me that Alaska doesn't have some, but I guess that's kind of far north.
It's kind of cold in the winter.
Yeah, it'd be harsh.
Yeah, it's fun. Did you ever think that we would have three podcasts on Off the X about turkeys for us?
No.
No.
No. This one hasn't been put out there yet either. Yeah,
exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
That is true. Golly. Maybe one day I'll try it.
We do.
It's a lot of fun. It can be frustrating, too.
I could see Forrest enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. It's
a freaking challenge.
I've told you multiple times, as much as you enjoy to call ducks.
The sound thing is what really intrigues me.
Yeah.
Like, what you were talking about, talking back and forth with that hen and watching the show and like that stuff is exciting. And then you talking about hearing sharp call and then hearing them waking up in the morning and everything else like that. That's exciting.
It's fun.
I'll send you the video of the... Or the footage of the audio. The footage of the audio. Send you the footage that'll be fun of that hunt for you to listen to the
That's
audio.
That's a dad that has not had much sleep right there.
Yeah, I'm tired.
But if Forrest ever decides to do it, we need to let him up and take him to either Nebraska or Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
No, my first one's going to be an Arkansas bird.
No.
Yeah.
God, why does he put all the stipulations on stuff?
Because it's Forrest. He's never going anyway, so why are we even having this conversation? He's going to go fishing. He's going to drop us off.
That's
in
why
his
I'm
boat.
Saying we're going to go
fishing is a lot
go
of fun.
To like Kansas and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of water up there.
that's true. That's very true.
He's going to be in cattle ponds with the ultralight trying to catch something.
Is Arkansas really that bad? Like, seriously?
Some places.
Well, that and it's an Eastern. Like, an Eastern turkey's hard to kill.
Yeah.
Oh, so Easterns are not only are they louder, they're harder to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're tough.
Like, but Rios are fun. Like, they are. I mean, they're just like, I want to go have a good time turkey hunting. I'm going to go shoot a Rio.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Because they're just fun.
Okay.
They're goofy. You can shoot into them and they'll run off and then you can call them back. Like,
so they're spoonies.
Basically, yeah.
I like spoonies. I like spoonies.
I mean, we set up on them one time up there, we watched them pitch off. We had some guys with us. We were trying to get them a bird. They ended up killing one that morning. So we said, we're going to go back and get between them and the roost tree because there's not a lot of trees up there they can roost in. They come flying in, and we watch one fly in and hit a tree limb and fall to the ground. Like, he smacked a limb and hit the ground. And I was like, it's killed him. We're fixing to fill a tag right here and never fire a shot.
Have you ever seen the Primos footage of the turkey that hit the power line and died instantly? It was trying to fly up to roost or fly down. I can't remember.
You just walk over there and start eating.
I mean, it's already fried. Might as well grab a fork.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Well, let's do this duck call review. And then if y'all got some more turkey stuff y'all think about, we'll add it in there. Brandon Thomas, Custom Calls. Brandon Thomas is a good buddy. He actually, 2023, won the amateur division at NWTF for custom calls or whatever. So he makes a good call, obviously. The one that we're reviewing, we did a call swap last year at Delta. And this is a crosscut green hedge, and it's sleeved in African blackwood. Really good sound to call. It's got a good loose bottom end. It doesn't take a lot of air to run it. It's got plenty of ducks in it. I would gladly say that it's good for beginner, moderate, expert caller. An expert caller might want a little bit more volume and a little bit more power out of it, maybe, but that would be the only knock that I would have, and that's not really even a knock that I would say about it. My things that I really like about a call, I want it to have a good bottom end and a really good feed to finish ducks, and it's got that. I think it's a great call. I like the shape of it. It's a smaller call, not quite as small as a Laird's, but it's smaller than what your standard, you know, Rich and Tone or Echo might be. Good shape, comfortable handle. I mean, it's a good call. What do y'all think of it?
I really like the crosscut. I don't.
Yeah, that's
I
just pretty.
I guess I hadn't really paid attention. I hadn't seen very many crosscut, but I really like that, and I like the shape of it too.
Yeah,
but it does have a really good feed on it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It sounded
as soon
sounded
as really you did good. The feed on it, I was like, "Well, Tyler's gonna like that one."
Yeah, I mean, if it feeds good, then I like the call. So,
oh, I enjoy it. I would say it's probably more of a moderate to higher level caller call. It's real easy to overpower it with air. So it's you really have to be able to finesse and control your air. I felt like it was probably a little bit touchy for me, but I think the bottom end quacks are solid.
Your quacks did sound really good on it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, you didn't try it. Do you have anything? Any input?
I'm going to defer to y'all. I was setting up cameras and wasn't really paying attention when you jumped on it.
Solid call. Get in touch with him while you can. I know that he does not sell his calls for as much as he should be selling them for. Me and him have talked about that. So get on his list now.
Before the price goes up.
Before the price goes up. Good. Yeah. That's right. Before we get off here, you turkey call guys. Like, do you have a call that, like, this fits me?
I used the Bo Brooks power calls this year just because, I mean, he is incredible on a turkey call.
Yeah, everything. He's incredible on everything.
I can't sound anything like him. But
I was going to say, did you sound anything like him?
I try and I don't, but he makes a good call and it worked for me.
Yeah? Well, yeah. Hey, there you go. Which one? He's got multiple.
Yeah, so it was that three-pack that he sold. I think it's called the Cutter. It's the all-black. I really liked it. Mockingbird was probably my second favorite.
Okay.
What was your third favorite out of the three pack?
Whatever the third one was called. I don't
remember. the Batwing, isn't it?
I think so.
That Batwing 2.5 or something.
Something. But yeah, I really enjoyed that this year.
Barrett, did you try to do
it? No, I actually
I can't believe you didn't try one.
No, and I wanted to. My concern was like, I'm going to ask to try this. And I'm going to end up screwing what was happening. So I was like, I'm not even going to attempt it. Like,
hey, bro, hand me that wing bone. Yeah.
Give me one of them mouth calls.
So I was like, the slate call is what I wanted to play with, that and the wing bone. But I wasn't even going to attempt a mouth call. But I was like, no, dude, I'm not going to screw up. This guy invited me out here. I'm not going to be like, hey, bro, let me call. Like, let's see what happens.
I didn't mean like actual. I thought like in the truck or after y'all got home. Let me try. I want to see how to do this.
Honestly, at the end of the day, like I was just ready to. We were like, let's go get food. I mean, we hunted. We hunted. I didn't eat. I ran out of water multiple times. I was like, this is. I was like, this is, I felt like we were hunting in Afghanistan.
up, down, up, down.
It got tough. It was fun, though. It was cool.
When you get home, YouTube TK and Mike turkey hunting.
Oh, it's the best. It is the best.
I was really hoping we'd put one down because Sharp was like, yeah, dude, I'll make you a wing bone call. Like we put down. I was like, oh, we got to get one now. So, but. Maybe next time. If I get an invite back, he may listen to this and be like, yeah, right. You're not ever coming back.
You might be going to Nebraska next.
I'm going somewhere where I can shoot something. So at this point, it's like, you know what? I mean, why not? Get the experience. Try it. I mean, worst case, I waste all that gas.
Guess we're going to Montana.
That would be awesome.
It really would. I don't want to go to Montana bad.
So it was fun. I'm glad Matt, I mean, that second story, Matt, was really cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I made it through all of my voice cracks and everything. I mean, I'm going to be 29 next month. Do you think there's any hope for my voice ever?
No.
I mean, am I about to get a growth spurt? Am I still going?
I've never had one.
You know?
It just is what it is.
It's a real late growth
spurt. If you get rid of the boxers.
There we go.
And with that.
Fellas, I enjoyed being back together. It was fun, guys.
We'll catch you on the next one.
Oh my gosh.
I'm glad we're all back together.
It's fun.
Don't forget to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you find your podcast.